I was listening to a podcast recently, and the guy was saying, how bad do you want it? That's a question I have for you. How bad do you want it? Welcome to the David Trigg Show, the Trigg Podcast of Joey and Gosto TV here on this beautiful Monday, August 26, 2019. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this episode. Talking today about how bad do you want it? In the last, few days, I've had all kinds of challenges, people that have left, people that are doubting, can I do this? Can I bring myself out of this situation that I find myself in with my church? And there are people that are right there with me, others that are just watching on the sidelines, others that are wishing or hoping that I fail. And that is typical of being a leader. That's what it looks like in any area of your life. If you are trying to lose weight, there are people that are cheering for you, others that are just watching, and maybe even some that are hoping you fail. If you're trying to fix your marriage, the same goes. If you're trying to have your kids have a better future, it's hard to imagine, but there are people literally that are just simply watching to see if you fail. But when I was listening to this question of how bad do you want it, the question is, or the answer is, I want it badly. I had a friend tell me, David, you have been created for such a time as this. Just like Esther was put on this earth for such a time as this. I believe with my whole heart that I am here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. I had a friend back at USC when I worked at the church there that he would always sign his tweets or his emails with, here for a purpose. And I believe that with my whole heart, I am here for a purpose. And so are you. Now, what is that purpose? Well, I don't really know what that purpose is for you or even for me. But you know what I do know? Is that you will be tested at some point regarding your purpose. And the way that you will discover your purpose is if you find the thing that you're willing to die for. I am willing to die for my church, for the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't want to physically die, spiritually, mentally, but like my grandma used to say, nothing is forever. No sacrifice is forever. And so right now, there are a lot of things that I need to do, can do, should do, go to school, lose weight, I don't know, exercise. And those two things especially are very important to me. And as well as date my wife and celebrate our children, meaning, you know, my personal life. Those things are very important to me. But I have to somehow figure out a way to focus on the thing that I am created to do at this time of my life, at 50 years old here, August 2019, and that is to push my church through this mud. My church has been through a lot of trauma, losing almost $5,000 a month in income, losing half of the church in the last 12 months. People, as I said, doubting, wondering what's going on. And it would be easy for me or anyone to shrink back or to try to protect themselves. But specifically, we just recently lost our dear worship leader. And, you know, I am gifted in worship. I have done worship at a high level for 20 plus years. I love it. But there's a big part of me that doesn't want to do it because I feel like I need to focus on the big things. There's also a need for prayer at the church, and the same goes. I feel like I need to focus on the bigger things in life. But God keeps saying to me, what is bigger than prayer and worship? What is bigger than prayer, fasting, and seeking my face? Nothing. Now, I could say, well, I have to make sure the building gets remodeled, make sure that the budget is done, make sure that my board is one, make sure that the floors of the fellowship hall are cleaned and blah, 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 make sure that I preach the Word of God every week. And I would say, except for preaching the Word of God, all the other things don't matter. So what if I have clean floors and no church? So what if I have a a brand new building and no one coming. What's the point? I need to focus on the main thing. As the book says, keep the main thing. The main thing. Worship is a huge part of my life and the church's life. From day one, I have felt called and intrigued, I should say, by the idea of leading worship and preaching. It's not, I wouldn't be the first one. My friend Ruben here in Gardena, shout out to my friend Ruben. He leads worship every week, preaches and leads and does the whole thing. And I respect him. He's about my age, maybe a little bit younger, but he has all the energy in the world. And could he lose a few pounds like me? Probably, right, my friend? My other friend, Josh, he has a great worship team, but he leads worship all over the place. He does 10 things at once. Preaches, consults, and I mean, I'm sure he's had to do it all. At one point or another, he's been there 13 years and now it's a thriving church. I'm in year three. He's been there 13 years. I need to be willing to do whatever it takes right now, right here, right now. And that includes leading worship. Now, I'm telling you, my brain tells me don't do it. My brain tells me you're going to burn out. My brain tells me you're going to be mad at the bass player. You're going to demand too much. You're not going to have the patience. All these things, but I need to constantly ask the Lord for his guidance and lead by example. And I have a guitar that I'm not sure why it's not working, something with the batteries or the pickup, I don't know. But reality is that that's the only obstacle I have on why I'm not leading worship. And as you can imagine, that's no obstacle, that's no excuse. I'm not convinced, though, I must say, I must confess that to you, only because I am afraid of doing it all. Maybe I'm afraid of failing. I'm afraid of not being able to maybe not be admired. I'm afraid of overextending myself. And yet, I'm the one that every day comes home asking my wife for more to do. I keep telling her, I wish we would do more of this and more of that. And meaning the church had more services and I could preach more and I could, I mean, this is my chance to do more. And are there more things that have to be done? Of course. We have to get our church outwardly focused, thinking about this and that. But those things are coming. Those things are coming right now. We need to get our worship right. And I am the one. Now, I don't mean I'm the only one, nor am I feeling like I have some messiah or hero complex. No. But I feel like I'm going to read this quote from my friend who texted me this beautiful, beautiful, just his words, if I can get this open here, that really have helped me. He was saying, it's all in Spanish, but I'm going to translate some of this. He was saying here, let's see here, this one open now, of course. Okay, it says, Pastor, we love you so much. And then after that, he then says, from the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth. We are in a spiritual battle. This that is happening is to discourage you. God told Moses, tell Pharaoh what I am going to do, what I will tell you. Not what you want to tell him. In other words, we have to do what God wants, not what we want. We have no other choice. And right there already, I feel like he's talking to me. What I would rather do is find another worship leader and just, I don't know, just, I'm not going to call it run away from my calling, but maybe protect myself or focus on other things. But I'm wrestling still. That's all I can really tell you. I'm wrestling. I don't know why I'm not 100% convinced. I think I'm not sure why. But anyway, he keeps saying here, on top of that, those that left, you know, he says, right now, in this moment, there is no one else. On top of that, those who left think that you cannot do it, that you won't be able to do this, but you can do it. You know that you can. Even God, until God sends another person to help you, this trial will benefit you. because now you can do what God has always wanted you to do, and that is to worship Him. With the preaching, as I've said, from the beginning, from the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth speaks. So in other words, he's saying, if you just focus on God, you will have plenty to say. And that is so true. You know, I don't need to be worried about what is God going to say through me as I speak. If I'm filled with Him, and this is very true, I will have plenty to say. Of course, as I study and as I meditate on His word, and of course, all of those things. He says, speak. God is inside of you. So speak and preach as such. You will be strengthened by God in everything. You will be refined by God in everything. Remember what God told Jonah, just go and preach. What I told you, this is now to Joshua, go march around Jericho and the walls will fall down. My brother, what you have is for this time as this. This is what's beautiful. And this is the part that hits me the most. What you have, he says, is for such a time as this. I just command you to be strong and courageous. Do not dismay. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. It's just for a season until God raises or sends someone else. Wow. You know, I don't know why I'm still wrestling. I would say at the end of the day, I'm wrestling because I'm afraid that this worship thing will take away my calling or my mantle as a speaker and the preacher of the Word of God, which is silly. But it's my weakness, you know, and I'm confessing this here in public. It's my greatest fear is that I am not supposed to be preaching, that I am just a worship leader, and that I have been disobeying God by not leading worship. Of course, this is not true. I don't have a drop of that in me. It's just my fear. It's just my fear talking, because I've been put down so many times as a preacher, as a communicator from the beginning. Not many people have believed in me as a communicator until the last, ironically, 7-8 years, which have been the hardest years of my life. Isn't that ironic? When I left worship, the thing that I was the best at and gifted at and had all the fruits and all the fruitfulness to show, when I left that and I began to preach, that's when I actually began to feel encouraged by people. My friend Josh, again, my biggest fan, always encouraging me, telling me what a gifted communicator I am. And even just this morning, I think I was reading something on Facebook about my calling being so obvious to preach. But that fear is perhaps the last thing, hopefully, that God is dealing with in my life, is this fear that if I lead worship and assuming that I have success, meaning that God is glorified and things flourish, that somehow that will show the world that I see you're not a very good preacher. You're supposed to be leading worship. I've had people literally tell others, he should just lead worship and not be the pastor. And so you can imagine how that makes me feel, how me leading worship can make me feel so insecure about my first love or about my other love to speak and to preach the gospel and to be the pastor. And it's because I fear that I am doing the wrong thing. That's only the fear of man, let me clarify. That's not a fear that I have in my heart. That's not what God is telling me. God is continuing to tell me, you're exactly who you need to be, the lead pastor, the speaker, the voice that I have called for such a time as this. And if I was to try to hear God and not just my own thoughts, I can almost hear Him say, and son, I've given you two gifts. In fact, I've given you many gifts. And for this season, you are the one to lead worship, to lead my people into your presence, into my presence. And so do it faithfully until I provide the right people. And if I think about it, every time that I've led worship at all the churches that I've led worship, you know what happens? People flock to me. They're like, can I help? Can I be next to you? I'd like to help. That's what happens, because that's what giftedness does. It draws giftedness. And so my guess, I mean, I'm just trusting God in this, is that if I begin to lead worship again, others will come along that will eventually be the actual worship leader, and I can then go back to being what I'm called to do. So even though this is sounding good to me, I must confess I am wrestling with it because of many reasons. I would say primarily the fear of not being able to handle the workload, and second, what it says about me, that I'm really not who I think I am. Both of those things, if I'm rational, they're just baloney. I have plenty of support around both things, and I believe that God can use me in a mighty powerful way to do a good work. So pray for me, and I guess I want to leave this with you here, because you might be going through a similar experience of being yourself versus being what people expect you to be, of listening to man's opinions versus God's opinion, of even though you know what God is saying, of having obstacles, disobedience, habits, fears that block you. But as the Bible says, and I just preached on this yesterday, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? And then at the end, the psalmist says, one thing he says in the middle, one thing I've required, or I desire to be in your presence daily. But at the end he says, because I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. I think that is my answer. Just pray that I listen. Just pray that I am convinced. I must say I am 50-50 on whether this is the right thing to do. And perhaps that's how you feel. You know, what do you do when you're not 100% sure? I think you take that step and you see what God does. Either I will burn out, or, I don't know, get tired and have to go to plan B, or I will find that it's easier than I expected and God will provide all of those 1,000 cows that he has on that hill. And as whatever quote is, it says that whenever you follow your bliss, the universe, what is it? It basically comes alongside of you and helps you succeed. I believe that. I believe that if I am doing what I am meant to be doing, that God will conspire, I think is the word, to give you success. What are you needing to do? What do you pretty much know that is your success? And what isn't your success? What is your zone of genius versus your zone of excellence or your zone of failure? I know for me, organizing things and details and all that, that's my zone of failure. My zone of genius is definitely the presence of God speaking, music, mentoring. That's my zone of genius. And as I said, it may not be forever. I want to preach forever. I want to speak the word of God forever. I want to lead the Church of Jesus Christ forever. I don't want to lead worship forever per se, but perhaps for such a time as this, excuse my Daisy the dog back there, perhaps for such a time as this, he wants me to do this for now. I don't know why I'm fighting it so much. I hope I can look back at this podcast today, August 26th, our daughter's 18th birthday. Shout out to my daughter, Isabelita. I hope I can look back at this podcast and say, man, what was I so worried about? Or maybe I look back and say, no wonder I was so hesitant. Either way, I hope that you can decide what is God calling you to do. Do not fear. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.